Good evening tonight. It's Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, Mitzvah Kibbut Aveim. It's always time for Mitzvah Kibbut Aveim, because it's one of those mitzvahs that, first of all, it's the Aseret Dibros. It's one of the Big Ten. And we all know that the whole 630 mitzvahs are hinted to in the Ten. So like the Big Ten, so to speak, you could somehow connect all the 630 mitzvahs to have some connection to the Big Ten. And the idea of honoring one's parents applies both when the parents are alive. So anyone who have parents that are alive, you have the mitzvah, but anyone whose parents have passed on, the mitzvah still applies. Because it's an obligation to honor them after they pass away as well. The way you act, the way and how you talk about them, and so on and so forth, you know, when a parent passes away, there's obligations of honor as well. Chayiv Adam to honor his parents, Achamis as well. Okay. And as you know, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says beautifully, by Hilchos Kaddish. By the way, no one should be intimidated by this little something, you know. I believe it's not here.
I can't be a lawyer for security reasons.
The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, you know, he has a siman on Kaddish. When a certain relative passed away, person has obligations to say Kaddish, and he says the main even neshama. Why does the people say Kaddish? And because they want that neshama should rise and be elevated. But the main even neshama is when a person could bring to one's parents is by their actions, not so much about a guy saying Kaddish. People, you know, there are people that will fight for who says Kaddish. They're missing the boat. I came first, you came second, let's fight. You know, you have your side, I don't have your side. This, that. They're missing what the whole boat is all about. Yeah, there are laws, who comes first, who comes second, who has precedence. It's not worth any fight. That's not what it's all about. All about is, the main thing is, the person has to go ahead and follow in the ways of Hashem. Do the following ways of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Keep the myths, keep the Torah, be observant. That's really where it's at. Of course they have to be careful to say the Kaddish, and it does tremendous things. No one's making light of it, but that's not the home run. You know what I'm saying? So the home run is a person's actions, how he acts.
Is it true that what a person does in this world helps the neshama of the
nifter? Of course, everything that you do, David. Everything, if I get personal with you. Everything you do, you bring an neshama to your parents. I knew your parents, very fine people. I think your mother was a teacher of mine in the yeshiva, too. MTJ she taught, right? Don't give out information on the tape. But the point was that everything a child does, the parents get a kickback. And it's a proper kickback, a legal kickback. Because without the parent, there's no child. So because of the parents, your whole existence is only because of your parents. And therefore, everything you do, positive at least, don't get something good about it. Anything you do negative, up to your 13, that's where the parents might get. That's the parents are held more responsible up to 13.
Even if they're in
Yanavels? Yeah, I would think so, because they'll be judged on that. Let's say if they didn't train the child well, till 13, you know, that's why the child at 13, you know, the Medrash in this week's parsha talks about that, and parsha's told us about. When a child becomes bar mitzvah, the parents say, "Baruch the father, Baruch patrani me'on shoshoseh." Because the parent has that responsibility to train him. Then it doesn't mean when the kid's 13, the parents are off the hook. But obviously, until the kid is 13, the kid's a cuss and a minor. Now the kid is a big boy, or she's a big girl. And therefore, obviously, there's less responsibility because they're their own adult. Okay, yes. That's a good question. The Minchas Chinuch doesn't address that question. He's asking if honoring parents after death, is that Min HaTorah or not? Or is it the Rabbanon? What is it? So he says, the Minchas Chinuch says, even But he's saying the Torah Shabbat Ksav, Torah Shabbat Peh could also be on a biblical level. He wants to know, is it a rabbinic enactment, or is there some drasha that will obligate a child to honor their parents? If a person does not honor their parents after death, if they're disrespectful to their parents after death, they refer to them in a very disrespectful way, would that be a violation of the Torah obligation or not? That's Yitzhak's question. That's a good question. Let's see if we can see from the language of Minchas Chinuch. Mitzvah kibud avim. L'chabid ha'av ve'ein says the mitzvah is to honor the parents. Shenei mechaber tzivich ha'semecha. But pirish is a kibud, maichol, amashka, malbush, mechas, amachas, amotzi. Part of the honor is you give them to eat, you give them to drink, you get them dressed, and you bring them, and you clothe them, and you bring them in and you bring them out. Now that's something that people don't know much about. Bringing the parents in and bringing the parents out. That means you walk them into the house, you walk them out of the house, you escort them. That's also part of the mitzvah. That's part of the mitzvah of kibud avim. It's always nice a story. I'll give you a little story, a personal story that I had. There was someone that came over to me. I was studying in the yeshiva and he wanted me to go with him to a certain type of suda, some type of siyum yard site, but I wasn't I wasn't really available to go. But this person, this person asked me, but I was just learning the mitzvah of kibud avim. I was just doing I was learning with someone the Gemara, and the Gemara says the kedushin, that the mitzvah of honoring a parent is to bring a parent, walk the parent in, walk the parent out, escort them. So I said, you know what, I'm not able to stay to the meal, but I will be happy to walk you into this place. You want to go to this place? You want me to come with you? You don't want to go alone? This wasn't my parent, it was a friend, an elderly gentleman. I said, I'll do that. I said, I'll walk you in. And I thought that would be a respectful thing to do, even if I can't stay. So he won't come alone to the event. I walk him in, I stayed a couple of minutes. I walk out, right after I walk out, I'm still, let's say, within the building. Who's walking in? My mother's walking in. And I walk my mother into the event. So I felt that because I wanted to give the honor to this individual, to bring him in, to give him honor, I was blessed with the opportunity to bring my mother. So I walked out and I walked back in and then I walked back out. I got my exercise, but I got...
The aim is to make it very easy for you to do the second mitzvah.
Second mitzvah was right there. If it wasn't for the first guy, I never would have had that. My mother didn't ask me to meet her or whatever. But that was the story. So then the chinuch says, Mishoshim mitzvah su, the chinuch says the root behind this mitzvah, She'royu l'odom she'akma v'yigma, she'yaki v'yigma chesel mish'osim o'tova. It's very appropriate for a person to recognize and to bestow kindness on someone who did something good for him. He shouldn't be a person who makes himself strange and doesn't show gratitude to the person. Someone did something for you, you're supposed to go ahead and show gratitude back. A person who does not show gratitude, doesn't recognize things that were done for him, the good, It's looked at very bad by people, that such a person doesn't have the gratitude as part of his character trait. He should think about the fact that the father and the mother is the root why he's here in this world. It's appropriate that a child should do anything that he could benefit his parents. Because they brought him. You owe everything to your parents. You ever hear that expression before? Do your parents rub it in a little bit? Maybe sometimes. But really, you owe everything to your parents. Listen, not just they brought you into this world. They worked so hard for you. Sometimes you try to tell your children are young and they're not mature enough. You tell them, I changed your diapers. I took you to the doctor when you were young. I stayed up in the middle of the night for you. What are you telling me I don't care about you so much? What are you telling me A, B, and C? So wake them up a little bit. They should recognize. They don't remember. They don't know. They don't remember. They forget. But look, but it's not only that they brought you into this world. Look how much they did for you when you were young. And when you have this in you, if you have this midah, this character trait of being recognizing and having gratitude to your parents, you know what's going to happen from there? You're going to move from there to recognize the greatness of Hashem. Because if you recognize how much you owe to your parents, how much more so you owe to God, because God is the cause of you and your parents. I got to thank God for you, for myself and for my parents. To see Bosa, to see what's called Bosa, not all the Marisha, not all for the whole world, but to all the Marisha. We have to thank God. Mashiach, see you in Lava Olam, see Bissach Yomav. And that he helped that you should be brought out to this world. You should be born. And he sustained you all your life. That you form, you have eyes, ears, legs, your whole body. You have a doctor. He'll tell you what a body, what kind of doctor.
I'm going to be a neurologist.
It's amazing what the body that a person has, like how everything functions. Right? Everything's in place. Everything has its place. I have to thank God for that. You have understanding, you have knowledge. Without this great nefesh, this great understanding, you'll be like an animal that doesn't know anything. You have to think about how much you owe. You should be careful in the service of Hashem, because how much you owe to Hashem. You'd be like a horse or like a mule that doesn't understand. If you would not have a nefesh, you'd be like those type of animals. Now, I wanted to once suggest, there's a big question. You know, the two luchos, you see the two luchos right here, it's very appropriate, right in front of two luchos. You know, a lot of people say that the first luach represents Ben Otam Lamako, man and God, and the second luach represents what?
Ben
Achavera. So there's an obvious question. What's the obvious question? Number one, number two, number three, number four discuss between man and God. But number five, what's number five? Honoring parents. That's not between you and God, it's between you and your parents. So why is that counted as Ben Adam Lamoko? Why is that counted as a mitzvah between you and God? That's like between you and your fellow man, not to kill, not to commit adultery, not to kidnap, not to fall, not to be a false witness, and not to cover someone else's stuff.
There's no room on that.
So I want to say, based on the Sefer Chinuch, because the Sefer Chinuch says that honoring one's parent is a stepping stone. It's going to lead. It's a direct stepping stone to honoring your a God. So really, kavodas avicha v'simcha. It's really that's going to bring you to honoring your Hashem. So therefore, it's appropriate that that's on luach number one, on tablet number one, because that's going to bring you to honoring God. So therefore, that's maybe why it's there. You have other answers. Maybe we'll forget the mitzvah chinuch. We might see a different idea from the Mitzvah Chinuch. Okay. Then he discusses, there are certain questions in the halacha. Who's responsible to pay for the honor of one's parents? If your father has a few dollars, he has some money to support himself, to pay for his food bill. Your mother has money to pay for the food bill. But they say, hey, sonny, you're obligated to honor me. I want you to go ahead and you pay for the bill. So what's the halacha? The Gemara discuss, I have the question in the Gemara. Who is responsible to pay for it? You have an obligation to feed your father, to give him to drink, to get him dressed, to walk him. But what about, does it hit your pocket? Does it also, do you have to incur a financial, do you have to also take out money to spend? Or all the mitzvahs that you have to your father that you do with your actual physical body, but not actually with your pocket? With your pocketbook, if you're a lady, and if you're a man, with your wallet. So that's the question. So the Gemara concludes, it's Michel Av. You do not have to pay for your father's food bill, and drinking bill, and clothing bill. He has to, if he has money, he has to pay for it. If he doesn't have money, then if the child has money, then the child should pay. But then it would seem that some explain that the child's obligation to pay is more out of the midst of tzedakah. I think we saw that, right? Because there's an idea, you know, listen. You first got to take care of your relative, right? If your father doesn't have money, you have to pay. You know, you have money if you're capable of feeding him. you have to pay. You have money. You want it. But that would be more the mitzvah of tzedakah. That would be more the mitzvah of tzedakah that you would have to give money to, you know, like anytime someone doesn't have food, you have a mitzvah to put, you know, a poor person says, give me food, you have a mitzvah to give them. If someone's father or mother doesn't have food, you have a mitzvah to give. You're able to give. What happens if you're not able to give? You don't have money. Are you obligated to go knock on doors to raise money for your father? So that we saw would seem to be a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi.
I don't understand what you just said.
Let's say your father has no
machlokes between.
There's a dispute. There seems to be a disagreement, at least with Yerushalmi and the way the accepted the halacha seems to be. When it said the Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud says, honoring one's father and mother, whether you have or you don't have, honor your parents, even if you have to go knock on doors. But the way the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Mem, it says like this: if the father doesn't have money and the child doesn't have money, the child is not mandated. The Torah doesn't obligate the child to knock on doors. You know, still, I think I still would knock on the door, even if the Torah doesn't mandate me to knock on the door for my father. If he doesn't have money, I don't have money. But it's not part of the obligation of honoring one's parents. Torah did not require a person out of obligation to honor your parents, that if your father doesn't have money, if your father's not, you don't have money, maybe your father should knock on doors. Not that you're responsible. You don't have a responsibility to knock on doors at that point. But you still have to honor him with yourself, even if, as a result of that, you're going to have to take off from work and it might come to a loss of money from you from work, and you might come eventually to knock on doors. This halacha needs to be researched a little more. I'm reading from, there's a Haggos on the bottom over here that they're quoting the Shulchan Aruch and the new Minchas Chinuch. You don't have it there. That it would seem that there's a halacha that if a child has food, let's say if a child has food for today, he has enough food in the bank for today. Let's say he has enough food for himself for today. His father doesn't have, and he doesn't have anything besides, let's say, that food for today. The son doesn't have. The son still let's see what it said. Mr. Lufa, let's say there's other things. Getting his father dressed. Or walking his father into the house, walking his father out of the house. Other parts of honoring one's parent. A person would have to take off time from work to get his father. He's responsible to get his father dressed.
You tell me not in the general sense.
They're old. When they're old and they need someone to get him dressed and to walk him in, to walk him out. So obviously, if you hire somebody to take care of the father, fine. But if you don't hire someone to take care of the father, that's your obligation. It comes out let's say a son has a job. The son has some money in the bank. And the father needs his help. The father needs someone to get him dressed. The father needs someone to walk him into walk him outside the house. Walk him into the house. The son has you have an obligation. You gotta stop your work and go home. Take care of your father. You have money. You have enough food for that day. Stop what you're doing. Go come take your obligation to honor your father. Now, obviously, practically speaking, what do people do? Instead of themselves do it, they get someone else to do it for them, to represent them. They'll pay somebody to take care of their father, or they'll make sure the government will pay somebody to take care of their father. Depending on the financial situation of their parents, they will, again, if the father has money, you might see that. See, also, it would be an interesting question. We said that the father, when it comes to feeding the father, the son doesn't have to pay for that bill. right? Somebody has to pay for the bill of the food bill of the parents, right? Doesn't have to pay for the food bill. If the father has money to pay for it, the son doesn't have to pay for the food bill. But let's say the son being there is giving time to his father that he's obligated to do.
So is that, so once again you said that it seems confusing whether it's kibbutz ha'ein versus tzedakah. I know that in terms of tzedakah there's a concept that you help those who are closer to you first. And
right.
So why wouldn't this fall under that?
So again, so that would work if it's just a financial issue. That let's say...
Is this what we're talking about now, a financial issue?
Right, so I'm saying, if again, does the father have money, or the father does have father's money to pay his bill, or does he have money to pay his bill?
He doesn't.
Does have money. And do you, does the son have money to pay the bill?
Yes.
So then the son has a responsibility of tzedakah.
Is it tzedakah or kibbutz ha'ein? Both.
It would be the obligation to pay would seem to come in out of tzedakah.
Right.
He'll be fulfilling a mix of kibbutz ha'ein, but it's not the obligation. But he's not obligated to give the money. He's not being obligated because of the mitzvah of kibbutz ha'ein. But obviously, if he gives the money, he is doing the mitzvah of kibbutz ha'ein. Okay. That's how we'll call like a mitzvah kiyumis.
So then, what are we discussing now? What's the question then?
The question is, I'm bringing up the question that even if the son doesn't have money to pay for the father's bill, the son still has an obligation. There are other things of his father. You don't have to pay for the food, but let's say getting him dressed. You have that obligation. A person can't just say that the fact is that the son says, I don't have money to pay for your food. I still have other ways I need to honor my parents. I need to go ahead and get them dressed. I need to walk them in. I got to walk them out. And let's say a person has money to pay for the food. Paying for the food is not. You have to make sure that you know the dressing and the other things, walking in and walking out. It's all other parts of the obligation. So a person is working. This is where people have to think a little bit. When they're working and their parents need help getting dressed, so I need your help to come home and get me dressed. Is there an obligation now that he does? He have to stop working to get his father dressed.
What do you do by shliach?
A chori could do it by a shliach. But he has to understand, he's mandated. He's obligated to get his father dressed. It's not that he's doing his father a favor.
To what extent does he have to stay home and risk getting fired?
That's a very good question. But it's something that people have to think about, be tuned in to recognize there's a very strong obligation going on over here of honoring one's parents.
You can sign up for long-term insurance at the back of the at the end of the share, Rabbi Friedman is...
As Rabbi Feinstein said, Rabbi David Feinstein said, in order that you should live long. So he explained, why does the Torah promise longevity for honoring one's parents? Because when do the parents usually need the honor? That's the honor that we're talking about. Giving them to eat and drink and getting them dressed is when they are old. So if you take care of them when you're there old,
you'll sustain them.
God's going to pay you back. You will become old. You show the honor to your parents. Now what does it mean honor? Most of the honor is getting them dressed and eat and so forth. When they're old, they have that problem. You mean you respect them when they're old? Hashem says, I'll make you old too. I'll let you live long too.
It's very impractical.
I also mean to connect a meter or something else, that if you help somebody, sustain somebody when they're old, then you're helping them to live longer.
That's true too. Maybe you extended their life. So Hashem said, I'll extend your life. You can look at it that way too. Yes.
One very practical way is that, you know, sort of by example, your kids see how you treated your parents when they're old, and they help you when you're older. You live longer.
So they'll help you because they're going to help you, and therefore that's why you're going to live longer.
Right.
Okay, very good.
As opposed to if your kids see the way that you treated your parents, if you just let them go when you get older, they let you go, you die. It's a very practical sort of application.
Very good.
Can I throw one wrench?
Yes.
You know, there's another mitzvah. And I'm sure this is what arises many times, but forgetting about a spouse. Is that sometimes I'm not talking about anything personal, but I'm just saying it. You have conflicts in doing all those things when you don't. Even though you may have all these feelings, because your primary responsibility at that point is not to your parents, but should be to your family, to your wife.
So that's a good question also. But we'll see that the Chinuch says, he makes a distinction between a man and a lady. He says that a man is obligated to his parents
never ends.
A lady also, her obligation to parents doesn't end, but her husband could say, if it's a question of if her husband needs her, see, the question will be,
does he have to say?
I mean, if a husband says, "I need your to take, you know, to take help me whatever I need,"
but I'm saying,
but the husband, the way the chinuch uses the language, if you look at the end, it says neheges, and this one is it's the next page, and yours, you'll see neheges b'chol mokum b'chol zman b'tzchorim u'nekevus kol zman she'efshelahem, as long as the ladies are able to do it. I mean, if a lady's not able to do it because, you know, the lady, you know, she's living in New York, her parents are in Chicago, and if she's going to go to Chicago, she's not going to be around her house to help her husband. So the Zif Kuglomet, the whole Eishol Yimnu Asobalein, as long as the husband don't prevent that. But if the husband says, I need you, I want you to be in the house. I don't want you going to Chicago to spend time with your parents or take care of your parents. I need you to help out. I need you to be here for me. So then she's exempt from the mitzvah. But you know what? If she has any brothers, it would seem they're responsible. It would seem to me, based on this, that everyone should merit to have an elderly parent, and all the parents should be elderly and well and strong, and they shouldn't need help. But if there's ever a case that they need help, really the responsibility goes on the sons. Those are the first ones that really are the ones that the daughters would all depend on what type of husbands they have. If the husbands are, you know, feel that they don't need them as much, and they don't mind.
Very good son-in-laws as well.
Right.
Very bad ones. It's also some very good.
Right.
Okay. In the
right. That right. So everything. But I'm saying, but really, they don't. I'm saying, really, the prime. If let's say it would come out that the daughter-in-law, the daughter says, "I can't," you know, "I can't do it." The son really has to figure out. He really has to. It would seem to me he has much more of the responsibility. Take care of his parents.
I'm saying he has a responsibility to his wife and his children.
That's true also. So now we have to figure out how to juggle that. But he still has that mitzvah of honoring his parents. He has, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, you have to honor your wife more than yourself. There's certain things, yeah, but it would still seem that a very serious and strong, now, he has to do it in a smart way, not to ruin his shalom bayis, but he's still responsible to take care of his father and his mother. And it's not that, you know, I'm married, I have a wife, so now my parents, okay, what were my parents? Don't worry about them, I'm married, forget about them. No, that doesn't seem to be the way I see it. What do you say? I don't see it that way. I see you're responsible. So you have a wife, you're responsible to take care of your wife. You have parents, now you got both. That's what I would say. Take care of your parents, take care of your wife. Share yourself in a smart way. Maybe, obviously, sometimes if you'll pay for someone to take care of your parents, sometimes, you know, if you can bring them into the house, and obviously if you bring them into the house and you have the mitzvah, every time you give them to eat and drink, take care of them, you're doing a mitzvah. Do people realize that? Do people think about the fact that every time they bring their parents in the house, every time they're doing, they're getting a mitzvah, every time they're taking care of them?
The third verse.
I'm saying if a son takes a parent into the house every moment, or if a daughter takes a parent into the house, and the son-in-law allowed her to do the mitzvah, they're doing the mitzvahs constantly. That's mitzvah kibbutz of aim.
Give specific examples of an exclusive list, or can it be just anything that's helping a parent?
I think these are the general things I would think.
Like calling a parent, is that following?
I think it's an honor, some sort of an honor, whether is it the primary, is it the main type of honor that, you know, is it the main honor? See, it could be maybe there's something, there might be there's something called the mitzvah chiyuvis, mitzvah chiyumis. It could be sometimes, there's certain things you're obligated to do. You're obligated to give to eat, to drink. Are you obligated to call your parents? Maybe that's not part of your obligation. But if you do it, you will get credit maybe for doing some sort of honor. Maybe we could break it down like that. I would suggest something like that.
I was doing shmiras and meis about a generation ago, a couple of decades. There was a mistake between two elderly women in nursing homes. There was some kind of, you know, health-related facility or whatever, you know.
They mixed the body though?
Yes. One was named Sora Schwartz, the other was named Suri Schwartz. The daughter of whatever, the daughter of one of them, something. They mixed the names up and they called the daughter. The daughter identified the mother.
The wrong one.
The wrong one. That's my mother. You know, the eyes closed, the face changes, the color, you know, whatever. And elderly people will look alike too, whatever. They had the Levaya pretty much the same day, I don't know, something like that, you know. Jewish law, it's same day, usually, a lot of times. That night, the son got a call from his mother as he was sitting Shiva. Why didn't you come to visit me? Obviously, imagine what kind of shock that was and everything. I've come to visit you, I'm sitting, you know, he didn't actually say I'm sitting Shiva for you, you know, but anyhow, the correction that they had to do was, I mean, the funeral home, everything was, you know, everybody was completely disarray. They had to exhume the long maze, whatever.
Yeah, the lawyer here.
And you wouldn't, I can't even imagine what went on between the two families. I mean, then, you know, it's unbelievable. And the disgrace
for the mace.
The mace itself, you know, for both Mason, really, both families.
One was alive, one was
both. Yeah, but still, you know. It's like
and you were there.
No, I happened to do shmira for a different one, and
they told you a story.
And the funeral directors were bringing in, instead of taking out or bringing in from the hospital, they were bringing in, and this was an aron that wasn't one of these fancy kosher aronos that was like $1,500 or something like that, or $2,500. Even if they could be kosher also. This was a real, real plain one with, you know, like a couple $100 or $300, $400. And they brought in this urn, a whole bunch of earth is in it and everything inside the urn and everything outside the urn. And it's, you know, the whole thing, they're bringing in the earth from the cemetery into the funeral. Earth.
Oh, but they're waiting for the room for the earth?
No, because they brought in this. And they exhumed it, and they say, oh, we got to clean off the dirt. They brought in a broken casket.
And they wanted to clean it up?
No, they brought in the, no, because the mace had to be reburied. They have to get a new one.
Right.
And put a new tachlichen, and then this mace has to be handed over to
the family, the right family.
So I happened to be by the garage where they sort of like sneaking it in. And all the, you know, the rob was involved, everybody was involved. You know, it wasn't the one really sneaking it in, but they had the correction. So I'm looking at this and bringing in the garage. As a shoulder, you go all over in the building, you know, free reign in almost every part, even where they embalm bodies, not according to halal. So I said, what's going on? Broken arm? I saw this arm. Broken pieces, cracking pieces. whole bunch of earth in it.
Yeah, what a story.
So, you know,
check it up in the Bible film.
Sometimes, you know, I don't know, when he brought up the fact of, you know, calling the parents, you know, and she called our son up, you know, he would always visit every day, something like that. Why did you visit me today? You know, what happened? Why did you call me? It's important to honor whatever it is.
Now, very good. Now, the Michas Chinuch discusses, you know, included in the mitzvah is also to honor someone's father or someone's mother remarried. There's an obligation in the Torah to honor the spouse, the step-parent. It's a biblical obligation to honor a step-parent. And the way the Michas Chinuch explains, it's part of honoring the parent. Because how do you honor the parent? By honoring the parent's spouse. If the parent passes away, one's parent passes away after they married a step, and now they have their spouse is still alive, the stepfather's still alive. The Michas Chinuch says there's no obligation to honor that spouse. Obviously, it's a nice thing to do.
If they remarried.
No, let's say someone's parent remarried. And then the person's parent passed away, but the stepfather, but that spouse is still alive. Let's say their mother remarried, and now the mother passed away, and the mother's husband is still alive. Uh-huh. What's the obligation? Is there any obligation regarding that child to that step parent? So he says over here, the Michas Chinuch says there is no obligation, but the Meiri says. He wants, the Michas Chinuch wants to say there's not even a rabbinic obligation to honor that once the parent passed away, the spouse has no obligation to honor that spouse. However, he says that the smak, Sefer Mitzvot Katana, holds as a rabbinic obligation, and the Meiri in Ksubas also implies that way. So that's a matter of question also, but it's definitely an appropriate thing to do. Shulchan Aruch says
that... How can you be so unclear about a Darabanan, about something that you know definitely isn't right?
The question do we find... I mean, did the Rabbanan obligate such a thing?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so sometimes it's not everything that the Rabbanan obligated might be clearly, you can really see openly in the Gemara. The question is, how do we have to look at the different Gemaras? Did the Gemara say anywhere that a child is obligated to honor a spouse of a parent? So I presume they have to see from the Gemara. The Gemara indicated that there's Chayev Adam. You know, it says Chayev Adam, a person obligated to honor their mother-in-law and their father-in-law. Such an obligation. I would think it's a rabbinic obligation. I don't know if that's a biblical obligation. Shulchan Aruch says you have to honor your in-laws. People who make jokes, outlaws, in-laws, I say that's not appropriate, right? I don't know if you ever heard these jokes. They're not appropriate. These jokes are not appropriate because that's not an honor of an in-law if you make these type of jokes. Because that's not the way of the Torah. The Torah says you're supposed to honor your in-laws. This is the parents of your spouse. You have to show respect. So
if that's true, then how do you reconcile the fact that our spouse says, no, don't go to the parent, I need you here. So, but then, there's still that.
The first obligation is the wife has she's obligated to her husband. And the husband's also obligated to honor his wife. But then the question is, see, there's something, what's called honor and what's called other things. Like, honor is giving to eat, drink, and so on and so forth. We said that's how we define a lot of the honor. Going to their house for Shabbos, should we go to our in-laws' house for Shabbos? To what? That we should spend time as company with them, is that, that's not the obligation of honor, that I got to go to my in-laws' house? But doesn't say that's, is that part of obligation of honor?
When they're old, then it's
a different story. And like we said, then it might depend whose parent is sick. If the husband's parent is sick, then it's much more of a responsibility to go to that husband's parent's house, take care. You got to be immense. That's 100%. 100%. You got to be immense. But sometimes when you need some guidelines of how to, you know, who's responsible? There's a son, there's a daughter, and both have a difficulty taking care.
But basically, if the spouse also has the obligation to, how do they say, no, don't go to them, I need you here, because we established a home now for ourselves, because we know it's rootless.
Again, but you have to
cover it. It's not a priority. It's not a priority.
We have to, again, you have to know what is the need of the, you have to analyze first, what does the parent need? Not everything is called honor. Not everything would be the obligation of honor. He also talks about the obligation of honoring your oldest brother.
And your older sister too?
He doesn't talk about the older sister. He doesn't discuss that. He discusses the question, what the obligation to honor one's oldest brother, would that only be when the parents are alive? Or even when the parents pass away? So he says in the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvot seems to imply that the obligation to one's older brother is also only as long as the parents are alive. Because the parents want you to give honor to the oldest brother. But the Rambam does not seem to indicate it that way. Because the Rambam doesn't say it only applies when the parents are alive. The Rambam writes, Stam, he says that therefore...
But we
all know that the honor to honor one's older brother is definitely when the father's alive. Right? You're saying it might not be as needed as much. You're saying maybe it's, you want to say it might be setting the stage for when the father passes away. Honor the older brother when the father's alive. Prepare the family when the father's not here.
What it does is it puts the family together. I think that's probably
it. He's a leader among the next generation, so to speak. But again, but that obligation is definitely clearly when the father's alive. The question is if the father passes away. And he wants to say the Rambam seems to indicate yes, even when the father passes away. Even when the parents pass away, there's still an obligation.
We have to wrap
it up. You're saying it makes more sense because there's no parents here to leave. Yeah.
The obligation to honor the parent continues after they pass away. And she needs to continue the brother. After the parents pass away, to honor the older brother.
Based on that, you should say on the spouse also. Maybe if the parent remarried. Would you say that too?
Yeah. I mean, you could say that derives, the cupid of the oldest brother, does that derive, that derives from the parents? It's a similar...
So that's, see, there's a special pasuk. It says, Kabi Netzivicha Ve'etimecha. So the Vav, we say it includes the older brother.
Right. So the question is, it's derived from the parents and the obligation continues after the parents pass away, then it should continue for the older brother once the parents pass away as well. Right? You need to honor your parents even after they're not here. So we honor them, we honor your brother too. Why should the honor to the older brother not exist once the parents pass away when you still have that obligation to honor the parents?
Okay, it's a good svara. When the Rambam does say Stam, he doesn't make a distinction between
but the older brother. That
but the Ramban seems to indicate that it's only when the parents are alive.
Because the parents want you to honor your brother. So it's your parents of grace.
No, then we can't say that.
She didn't say his parents, your parents.
You have several brothers, you know.
Yes, your brothers.
Is it possible that it's a reason the brother has to be honored? His brother is something like a shliach. authority of the town. And so honoring him is like honoring.
You like honoring the parents, but would that apply after death or not of the parents?
Well, that it could because if it would depend if a person thought that his shlichus continues after the parents are not alive, and that's not so clear. I don't think that's less clear than the fact that he is a shlichus, you know, alive.
Okay.
That's what it seems to me.
Okay, there's a lot of things that we have, but we raised a lot of different issues for people to think about, and we should be zochah to honor our parents the way we should.